and this is my office.
Oh wow, it's beautiful. So
thank what you. What a nice place to work from home.
Yeah, and because I've just moved here, everything's in a bit of a shambles.
It's okay.
Also, would you guys like a cup of tea?
I would love
one. Okay. Yeah. So would you like to try anxiety, which is designed for stress and anxiety, or gut feelings, which is all about helping that gut-brain connection?
I'm going to go with anxiety.
Okay, nice. I have always mixed tea by hand. It took me a long time to experiment and find out which blend would work best. So bits of cranberry, bits of papaya, turmeric, and then just mix it.
And do you have anxiety yourself?
What, can you tell?
No, not at all. And this is the thing, like I'm exactly the same. Yeah. And I feel like lots of people who have anxiety are on the outside seemingly quite chill people, mm-hmm. but on the inside.
So true.
Yeah.
I'm Wilhelmina Shrimpton, and from News Hub, this is The Pivot, a series of stories about sudden change and new beginnings, all in the time of COVID. Tamryn Howells had always dreamed of working for Air New Zealand, so when she landed a role at head office as a customer experience designer, she thought she'd be in it for the long haul. But just a year in, and right before she was about to launch a huge project, the COVID-19 pandemic struck New Zealand, and it struck hard.
Kia ora, good evening. The new restrictions at the border took effect last night. By this morning, the first major economic impact landed, and it's hit Air New Zealand hard. As many as 3,750 staff could lose their jobs, and it won't be
a short. After a company-wide email about the airline's plans to downsize its operations, Tamryn lost her job at the end of March. Thankfully, though, she had something else on the boil, a small tea business she'd been operating as a tiny side hustle. And after posting about it online during our Level 4 lockdown, she realised it could be something big. Her tea is a special blend aimed at helping to calm the mind and body, and aptly named Anxiety. And after a year, she's sold more cuppas than she ever imagined. And now she's going to spill the tea on how it all began.
I was working in this corporate and we were going through a big restructure. I didn't actually at that point understand anxiety at all, and I didn't realise that I was experiencing it until I was really struggling to get out of bed. My younger sister, she's a lot more self-aware, and she said, "Tam, it sounds like you've got anxiety." And that was the first time the penny dropped. I was like, "Oh my goodness, what is this?" And started looking into it. And actually, one of the first things I felt was relieved as I started to read into it, that this was normal. Then started my own journey of experimenting with what helped, and medication and food, and what the team and I were doing, and some of my colleagues. We would just go for a walk around the block and have some time out and just kind of reset. And as the weather changed, we moved into the kitchen and we would have a cup of tea and just talk about what we were going through, what we were feeling, and kind of became a bit of a joke, you know, "Oh, let's go have our anxiety." And I thought, actually, you know what, this is a really cool thing that we're doing. We're taking time out of our day to connect with each other, to share stories about what we're feeling, what we're going through. And that's when I started experimenting.
And so it's not just, I mean, obviously you get the physical benefits from it, there's these proven ingredients, but I really like how you've got this idea of the symbol of it. It's more than just the ingredient space.
Yeah, it is. And whether it helps you with your anxiety, I don't know. But I do know that there's nothing bad about stopping and pausing and reflecting and just practicing mindfulness. Right now we've got the kettle boiling, we're talking. It's pretty special.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Here it goes.
All right, tea is ready. Oh. So when you brew tea, often it's a really good time to just stop and think.
Yeah, it smells so good, Sam. Hovering over the mugs.
That's good, that's part of it.
Got the little bits of tea leaves in the bottom.
Yeah.
Can read your tea leaves.
Yeah.
But no matter how many tea leaves landed at the bottom of her cup or which way they fell, there was no way Tamryn could have foreseen what was about to happen. She'd secured her dream job at Air New Zealand, but that was all about to change.
What does a customer experience designer do?
In essence, to be an advocate for our customers and to look at how they interact with us and
before I graduated. It was, you know, there was three iconic companies, Dyson, we had Fisher & Paykel in New Zealand. You know, if you could get a job at any of those, you're a good designer. And so when I got that opportunity presented to me, I was so excited and I really enjoyed it. And I was really passionate about the work we were doing. I thought I was going to be there for a long time. I had envisioned working my way up, and it was going to be my place, you know.
This was your place. How much of a shock was that when suddenly it wasn't?
Well, I was going through some personal challenges of my own at the time, and I needed a break because I wasn't actually able to be present at work and I wasn't able to give it my all. And so I went on a holiday just as COVID was happening overseas. And it wasn't until the day before I was due to fly out that I downloaded it all, logged back in, and saw the email from our CEO.
In a letter to staff, CEO Greg Foran has admitted the airline might not have much of an international future.
International travel accounts for around two-thirds of the airline's revenue, and with it gone for now, so too are 3,500 jobs.
We were working on a major project launching a new product for the airline, a long-haul product. We were days out from launching it. Everything was good to go. We just had to, you know, go live. A couple of days before that, we went into full-on lockdown. The borders closed and there was no need for a long-haul product and there was no need for us. Yeah, it was devastating to see something that we'd worked so hard for and lost a lot of sleep over and to just vanish into thin air, and it's very unlikely we'll see it for a little while.
When you finally found out that your role was redundant, what were the bad days like, especially with someone with anxiety?
Yeah, they were incredibly difficult because at this point we were now in lockdown level 4, so you couldn't go and see your friends and have a cup of tea. And honestly, some days are really hard. Some days you felt alone, but I mean, you know, logically you're not alone. You know, you've got people out there, and it was about reminding yourself that there are people and people that care about you and you're not by yourself, and to remind yourself to reach out and connect, because if you're feeling this way, other people probably are too. And so that's what I did, and Zoom meetings and having a glass of wine over Zoom never did any harm. It's terrifying. And when you know that there's a recession coming, and you know, at that point we had no idea what to expect, just that it was the worst thing you could imagine. We just knew, you know, there was talk of unemployment rates rising, and it was just terrifying, and we were all thinking of the worst case scenario, I think. And you ruminate in your head before bed, and you thought, well, what if I can't get a job? How am I going to pay the rent? And what does this mean for my career? And things like that. So it can get a bit scary, but you know, the amazing thing that comes out of tragedy and stress is the people that come together and innovate and come up with these great ideas.
And that's exactly what Tamron did. But instead of creating something completely new, she decided to throw her focus behind something she'd had on the boil for a while.
I was, previously, I'd been doing markets and selling my tea there at the local markets, but obviously with lockdown we weren't able to go to these markets anymore. I had to think of different ways to advertise myself and put myself out there, and so one of it was social media. So there was a Facebook group that was started by Sarah Concord called, at that time it was New Zealand Made Products, and I posted on there just that, hey, this is my tea, this is something I've been working on, not really thinking anything of it other than just sharing my tea, and it had an overwhelming response. People loved it, and I had almost 6 months of sales in one day. And I remember texting my mum and saying, I need your help this weekend because we have got so many orders.
Soon enough, bulk orders became the norm, and her peaceful Auckland home nestled in the bush wasn't just a sanctuary. Suddenly, it was a tea factory as well.
I was making sometimes $400 a month, and I was really happy with that, you know. And if I got 10 sales a week, that was a good week. And all of a sudden I was doing, $400 a day. And then all of a sudden it was this $100,000 company. And that was just in less than a year. And that was when I realized, huh, there's actually potentially a real business behind this. And I just haven't been marketing it very well.
What have been some of the major challenges in setting up a business? Because for a lot of people, it's a really overwhelming and huge task, and a lot of people just don't do it because it's so scary.
Yeah. The hardest part is always, where do I start? And because there's so many elements, do I start with a T, but at the same time I'm thinking about the branding, and at the same time, oh, I've got to get this website going, I know nothing about that. And your mind is being pulled in different directions. And so, I always think about that saying, one bite of the elephant at a time. And that really helps if you just create a big list of everything you need to do and just start at the top and work your way down. Part, I think, of having a business is learning what you're good at and accepting that, and outsourcing when you're not very good. And that means I can focus on things like creating a new blend and reaching out to my customers and building those relationships.
But with every great leap comes great risk, and with it some obstacles that suddenly knock you for six.
You had a bit of a setback recently, a week ago.
Oh, yeah, I created this new tea, and at the same time I was moving house. And so I already had customers who were messaging me saying, why is my tea taking so long? And so I was up there, again, 10 o'clock at night, packing the tea. Great, all the orders were ready to go. And that night our office was broken into, and all the orders were stolen. Now, maybe they just really like tea, I don't know, I hope karma gets them. But it was devastating because here I had all this product that, and all this energy again, just like at Air New Zealand, all this effort and energy was now for nothing, and I had to start again. And so luckily my family is super supportive, and we all banded together and packed again and got them out on time. But I think with businesses, there's always things. There's always something. Whether it's something you've done, maybe you've messed up a mixture, or you've broken your website, which I've done a lot of times, or something external that happens to you, you just have to keep going.
I feel like every talk or speech that I've ever heard from a very successful business owner or business leader has been, know when to put your hand up and ask for help.
Absolutely, and I think it's something that COVID taught us too, because when you are in lockdown, you learn to put your hand up and reach out, because people can't see you struggling, so you have to put your hand up and say, hey, can we catch up? And in business it's the same thing. People aren't going to come to your rescue. They don't know what you're going through, because on the surface it looks like you've got everything together.
Even so, Tamarin has still taken a lot on, and like most business owners, sees it as her baby. And just like an infant, it needs a bucket load of care and attention.
I don't often find time for myself, and I will use what would be time to watch TV, I use that to stick labels on bags or do my emails. It's not healthy and I don't think it's sustainable. But
so, is it time for some employees then, or have you just recruited your sisters, was it?
Yeah, so I've got my younger sisters helping me mix and pack the tea, and they sort of take turns because it's not really that fun. And then my mum's been helping with processing the orders and sending them off.
It's interesting, it's such a topical product for such a stressful year that we've had.
Yeah, it was fortuitous in some respects, but this was never really about me making money, although that is my goal, is to make this a successful company. But part of the reason I called it anxiety was to start people talking about it, to start people sharing stories about their own mental health, and to break down that stigma. That's a really important part, because I found it really hard to talk about, and it shouldn't be. It should be something that is, oh, look at this, this is my broken arm, and they're like, oh wow, that's really looks sore, and why can we do that with physical injuries but less so with our mental health?
And she hopes just seeing a pack of anxiety in a friend's cupboard, on a colleague's desk, or on a relative's shelf will be enough to start a conversation, hopefully followed by a hot cuppa.
really, truly, it's about helping people. And I think the wonderful thing about tea and anxiety in particular is it's been a really nice way to connect with friends and family when you can't be with them. So a lot of people would be buying these as gifts to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, you know, I can't be with you, but when we do, let's share a cup of tea and in the meantime, you know, take some time out for yourself. And I think as well, people are becoming more aware of their mental health and trying to manage it in more natural ways. That's not to say medication doesn't have its place, it absolutely does. But I think there are a lot of ways we can look after ourselves. So I hope that this is part of a wider movement, and I hope that it does spark that conversation and get people thinking and exploring different ways to manage their mental health. And maybe one day I'd love to be a part of those conversations at a bigger scale. But I first have to manage my own anxiety, so I'm not so nervous to talk.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Yeah.
I'm Wilhelmina Shrimpton, and for News Hub, this has been The Pivot. If you have a career pivot story you'd like to share with us, drop us a line at thepivot@newshub.co.nz. If you like the show and want to hear more, subscribe and leave us a review. It really helps.